Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
And Rob Parker, you just kept interrupting me last segment, so I really never got to make my point.
I'll be quiet.
This is the point I want to make.
Yes.
And then I want you to respond if you can. If you can. All right. LeBron James makes more out of less than any player in NBA history. Meaning you could put him with virtually anybody. You could put him on any team in the NBA, and at the very least, he's getting them to the playoffs. And most teams, he's going to turn into a contender. He does that better than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who missed the playoffs two straight years in his prime. He does it better than Wilt Chamberlain. And the reason he does it better than those big men was because he doesn't need a guard to get him the ball like they did. And he even does that better than Michael Jordan. When Jordan left the Bulls, and Jordan's the GOAT. Don't get me wrong. Michael Jordan is the GOAT.
So what's your
point?
But
when he left in 1993, after his third straight championship with Chicago, they went from winning 57 games his last year there in that run to 55. Went to game 7 of the second round against the Knicks, who ended up going to the finals that year. So they had a really good chance to get to the championship.
There was a foul call on
a bad call, right? Scottie Pippen
that changed that was at the end of the
series.
Game.
So my point is that's one thing LeBron does better than any player. He could take four of us in here and make us a great team. So you got to give him credit for that. And this Cleveland team is proof of that. They're 2-13. He took this team to the freaking NBA Finals, and they are 2-13 without him. And I don't want to hear Kevin Love's hurt, because Kevin Love was shooting 32% from the field when he went down.
Yeah, but you got to admit that if he was playing and
they might be 3-12.
They would be better.
Might be 3-12.
This whole narrative doesn't mean anything to me because
is it not true?
It's just a narrative to try to make LeBron look better, to try to disguise the losses when he gets to the finals, because the same guy you say does more with less until you get to the big games, and then that's the excuse on why he doesn't win.
That's always the excuse. In 2015, he was without Kyrie and Kevin Love, and they were up 2-1 on the Golden State Warriors. He didn't perform well?
All I'm telling you is it's the same narrative.
That's
when
just
facts. When LeBron wins, LeBron does more, whatever. And then when he loses, you go, but he didn't have anybody. What do you want LeBron to do? He didn't have anybody. Look at the roster. I told Skip and Shannon 3 days after they made those trades that team was no better than what they already had, that those guys were no good. I have the proof. I have the video.
But you act like that's some grand proclamation. Nobody was saying that. All we had to do was watch Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson and know they weren't that great.
They won their first couple of games.
We were just saying they were better than the crew they had before.
They weren't, though. They weren't.
They were.
No, they weren't, Chris.
They were.
It was all a thing. Oh, LeBron's got his guys now. Oh, they're going to make a real run.
They're going to win the East. That's all anybody. Nobody was saying
they were
going to
win the East before. They were going to win the East even if they didn't make any changes. Because
I don't know about that.
Because LeBron James, look, when they were down to Boston, I picked LeBron to continue to win. I bet so many people, chicken wings, I know I do have a problem, but I bet so many people because I was like, he's still going to win. Stop. LeBron is not going to lose to the Celtics with no stars. LeBron's not going to lose to Toronto. He's not.
Here's the answer.
I just don't understand.
I
don't understand what the narrative is. What does that mean? He won one championship in 11 years in Cleveland. What does that mean?
You act like you found. You,
what,
you,
what does that
you
mean?
Know that's
is that,
my stat.
Is that anything? Is that anything special? He won one championship in 11 years. Big deal.
Here's the chat. Look, you've heard the cliche, and it's true a lot of times. Sometimes a person's greatest strength can be their greatest weakness. And LeBron James, because he does so many things well, he does everything on the court. Sometimes he's playing the forward. Sometimes he's playing the point guard. He's shooting threes. He's going to the basket. He posts occasionally. He's a great passer, all that. He does so much that he virtually becomes his own system. Some people have the triangle. Some people have Princeton. Some people have motion offense. Some teams have LeBron. That's the system. Because he's the system, he can make any team really good. But the downfall of that is that when you have other great players, it can marginalize them a little bit because they have to all of a sudden fit into this one-man system. You saw it with Wade and Bosh in Miami. Kyrie felt it in Cleveland. And I do think that that is partially why, like, a one-man system, no matter how great the one player is not going to beat a great team that's skilled, has talent, and plays five-man basketball. That's why the Spurs and the Warriors have given him more problems than any other teams. And Michael Jordan, I mean, Phil Jackson put him in the triangle and said, we have to play team ball. You're not going to win. And the rest is history. So that I'll give you that. It could be a strength and a weakness, but I'm just saying, I don't think there's ever been a player that could do more with less in NBA history than LeBron James.
Just getting to the playoffs, is that what it is?
Well, I know you're all black and white, but they don't just get to the playoffs; they get to finals or deep in the playoffs.
Okay,
There's something to be said for that. I know you don't want to give anybody props. Barkley. It didn't matter. He could have missed the playoffs every year of his career and been just as good, right?
No, I didn't say that.
Because he never won it?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
Andre Reed, receiver for the Buffalo Bills, means nothing. He went to four straight Super Bowls.
No, that's a dubious distinction. Dubious.
We have to pull out the dictionary again?
No.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob, you remember the last time LeBron returned to Cleveland, so to speak, when he was in Miami, 2010. And it was ugly. I haven't seen at a professional basketball game an uglier scene than that. I mean, there was vitriol. There was venom.
And rightfully so. I mean, just based off of people being fans and fanatics, I get it. And it wasn't just this. He wasn't just any great player. He was from there. When you turn your back on people from a particular area, Chris.
Did he turn his back on them, though?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah,
really? By deciding he just wanted to go elsewhere.
Yeah, as a fan. Like, yeah, we got a guy. We're going to win a championship. They didn't know he was going to come back and win. You got to remember that. They didn't know that at the time.
So, all right.
I get it.
Well, let's welcome in one of LeBron James's former teammates. Went to the NBA Finals with him in 2007 when he was a rookie. Raining three-pointers all over the Detroit Pistons. I remember
I knew you were going to bring that
Rob
up.
Rob Parker's my partner, Booby. He was a writer in Detroit. It just crushed him.
No, it didn't crush me.
You were doing that.
I was covering the series. Chris thinks I care, but Booby had a great series.
He did very well. Booby Gibson. Booby, man, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Enjoying life, living life. And yeah, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Nah, it's great to have you. So what are you up to? We were asking what you're up to these days. You still doing the music? You rapping?
Yeah, man. I'm a full-time artist, but I don't like to call it rapping because I do a lot of writing, a lot of ghostwriting for a lot of artists. And
okay.
I'm just into the business of writing music, writing scripts, and just, you know, using the other side of my brain outside of my athletic abilities.
Right. Well, that's great, man.
I got it mixed up. When they told me that you were a rapper, I thought you'd be busy on Christmas with presents and stuff.
I got bars. We don't rap. I'm giving them bars.
Rob is older, Booby. He don't know nothing about bars and all that. So he's from that soul music era.
I do 2-for-1, right? Happy hour. I know what bars are. Go ahead. All right,
Booby, you were there the first night when LeBron returned with the Miami Heat in 2010. You were still with the Cavaliers. What was that like? I mean, did you know it was going to be that bad? And were you happy? I mean, you were one of the guys he left behind. Were you glad the fans responded that way, or were you bothered by it because it was so nasty, or what?
You know what? When I think back on it now, I really did not expect it to be that bad. But thinking about how the Cleveland fans are about their sports, it makes sense now. But in the process of it, I was like, of course I was mad because he's the greatest player in the world. And, you know, when he leaves, that kind of – there goes your championship aspirations and all of the above. But I do understand the business of basketball, and I feel like he made a business decision. Personally, yeah, I wanted him to stay. But the environment that we were in, it was tough to even think about basketball. You know, like in the midst of the game, like we had – you know, the guy run on the court ready to fight him and everything else. It was just the environment was so intense. It was difficult to even think about playing a game of basketball.
Yeah.
It's usually an escape.
I understand fans. I mean, they put their heart and souls. They buy jerseys with other guys' names on their back. You know what I mean? Invest money, time, they care. Fan is derived from the word fanatic. So I get all that, and that's why I'm not mad. If they boo him tonight, what do you expect tonight? I mean, he's basically walked out on the city twice, and I know he left the championship behind, but I would understand if fans booed him.
Yeah, I mean, it's Cleveland, so I expect them to boo. Like, you know, if you're not in Cleveland, I feel like they have to give you some type of disrespect. But he did come back and bring home a championship, and I just think that after they went so hard the first time, I think they let it all out the first time. I don't think it'll be anywhere near as bad. And the fact that he came back and did so much for the city, I just think you got to give him some appreciation. You got to let him smell a few roses while he's still playing. But at the same time, like you just said, he did leave again and take everything. I mean, all of the – any dreams we had of going back to the finals or continuing to compete gets washed away and you got to start all over. So I can understand the frustration, but I think they got to give him just a little bit of love this time.
They're talking about, will LeBron ever get a statue out in front of the queue in Cleveland? There should be a statue.
There should be a statue,
but he should have a suitcase under one arm and a plane ticket in his other hand. That's what that – not a basketball. That's what he should have, Booby. I'm telling you.
He brought him a ring, right? Tell him, Booby. Come on, he brought him a title.
The business of basketball, you got to understand, like, guys leave and go to different teams all the time. But what you can never disrespect or take away from is every single time he laced them shoes up as a Cavalier, he was the best thing on the court. And he brought so much excitement and love and joy to the city of Cleveland. And, I mean, you got to give him some love for that. Even if, you know, he decides to leave. You know what I mean? Like, you got to, at some point, flip that switch and then start to respect that journey because it's not an easy one. Yeah, some guys stay with one team for their entire career, but it's not that normal in the NBA for a guy to stay his entire career with one franchise. So it kind of makes sense.
It's the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. We're joined by Daniel Booby Gibson, former Cleveland Cavaliers. Booby, you were on those teams before LeBron went to Miami where you guys won 66 games in 09, 61 games in 2010. I personally thought you guys were good enough, especially in 2010, to win a championship. I don't think LeBron was mentally ready to lead a team to a title. It kind of showed in his first year in Miami.
Right.
What'd you think? Were those teams good enough when LeBron was struggling at the end of that Boston series and everybody's wondering, what were you thinking? What was everybody thinking as that stuff's going on?
Well, like, I hear, like, a lot of the slander when they be like, oh, LeBron's never had anybody. The thing about the thing about playing with a guy like LeBron is, yeah, you want to have superstars with him, but you got to have players that fit what he does.
Right.
And he creates space. And what we did have on those teams was guys that defended at a high level, guys that made shots when they counted. It didn't matter what time of the game it was. If he found somebody, get Danielle Marshall's, myself, Damon Jones, we were guys that weren't afraid of the moment. And so to think about stats, it's a little different because we just were primed for the moment. I think that, we had an opportunity, but we just ran up against a juggernaut in San Antonio that, like you said, I think after he went to Miami and lost and saw what it takes to reach that mountaintop, he just didn't know it at that point. And so he couldn't put us over the top, but I think after that he realized what it was, and now he's become the machine that we all know and love, and it's just unstoppable now because he knows exactly what it takes to get there.
Well, Boobie, do you think that's why maybe some of the Lakers are struggling, the younger Lakers?
Yes.
Right? Playing with LeBron, right?
Even with last year, watching the playoffs, like he got players on his team, but it's one thing to get players who, without him, they put up amazing numbers. But when he's on the floor, he has the ball a lot, and the way he makes plays, you got to be prepared to not necessarily have a feel for the game because you're not going to be handling the ball a lot, you know? So it takes guys that understand their role. And I think that's why when I think about the Lakers, they got to add some type of shooting. They got to add some pieces that fit with what he does. Because I think they got the defense and the athletic, all of the positionless basketball all the way covered. But you got to be able to make shots at the end of the day, especially when it counts and that's playoff time because – yeah, it's going the court's gonna get smaller, and guys are gonna have to be ready to knock it down. And I don't really see that from the Lakers right now.
I know that you're biased, Boobie, but try to be honest on this one. Is this discussion always comes up? Michael Jordan versus LeBron James, who's better?
Boobie's too young to know about Michael Jordan.
I think, right? So who's the GOAT, Boobie?
LeBron's okay. He doesn't listen to our station, our show, so don't worry about it. LeBron is not listening.
Gotta listen, bro. Y'all gotta battle. I know y'all want the raw, but I just don't think there's a raw definitive. Just because when I think about Mike, people forget. Like, didn't he lead the league in scoring for like 10 years?
Ten years in a row, yes.
Like that's unimaginable, unfathomable at any level, you know? And like Mike won consecutive championships and was just I think Mike is the GOAT. But when you think about the all-around complete basketball player, I believe Bron is better than Jordan when it comes to that. So I just think whatever your design of the basketball player is, that's I think what will give you your answer. Like for me, I like killers like Kobe and Jordan. So I would pick Mike or Jordan. But somebody with all of the skills is just hard to say he's not the greatest with all he's accomplished. So I know I'm on the fence with it.
No.
That's a good answer, though.
But you said Jordan. You said Jordan's the GOAT.
It's
and that,
too hard
that it is.
To, you know what I mean?
Right.
I compare LeBron more to Magic than I do Jordan anyway because Jordan was just a bona fide killer and scorer, and that's just not who LeBron is.
Boobie Gibson, man, great job,
man.
Boobie.
Really good.
We appreciate it. We may have you on again.
I know. I was impressed,
man. I love talking basketball and not just Cleveland basketball. Any type of I'm a junkie. So anytime we want you guys want to chop it up and just pick my brain, I'm here for it.
All right, man. We will do that. And good luck with the music too.
Oh yeah, man, it's doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
All right, Boobie. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Kevin Durant, he's already been in trouble on social media. The burner account.
But when you say trouble, not real trouble. It's just people.
Just embarrassment.
Right, embarrassment. There's no trouble to it.
No,
right.
No. Embarrassment.
There's no internet police.
No.
Social media police.
But the burner account. Actually, there was for Philadelphia President Brian Colangelo. He had a burner account that cost him his job.
No, that was his wife. Don't you remember? His wife did all that. Oh, yeah. She's giving team stories and information about the team and ripping the players.
So you don't believe it was his wife?
What? Just, dude, would you throw your wife, Chris, under the bus to save your hide? Seriously.
Look.
Would you?
I don't know what the truth is between that situation.
But that story don't sound right.
I'm guessing. I know Brian, and, I like Brian. Lonely for a long time.
It ain't about liking somebody.
Right. I'm guessing he went to his wife and said, look.
I'll never work again in the NBA.
We're going to lose. My career will be finished.
He should have thought of that when he was doing the burner account.
If you take the hit, I might be able to survive.
Would you do that? Would you ask your wife to take a hit for you to survive?
I wouldn't do a burner account. So.
No, I'm asking you. Would you ask your wife?
I don't think so. I mean, I can't think of a situation where that would come into play.
I could have done that. Say if I was still married, I could have said, my wife told me to say that about RG3. And then that would...
That's right. That's a good one. That's right. I don't know if it would have helped you like it didn't help Colangelo, but it would have been worth a try.
It didn't help.
Right. All right. Kevin Durant started out a good day for him. You know, story came out. He sat down with Yahoo reporter Chris Haynes.
Every day's a good day. He's dating Tyler Rooks.
Well,
have you seen her?
Let's see how you feel when I'm done explaining all this right. story. He tells Chris Haynes. Chris Haynes asks him the question everybody wants to ask him. Is Draymond Green going to impact your free agency decision to stay in Golden State or go elsewhere? And here's what Durant said. It won't factor. At the end of the day, I'm just a ball player that's just trying to be in a great environment to play basketball and groom my skills every day. And I want to compete on a level that once the game starts, I'm just totally comfortable with my surroundings, with just going out there and being me.
Great answer.
Sounds good.
Great answer.
I mean, there's
loved
a
it.
Lot in there.
I loved it.
I could read into. I could say, well, okay, is it a great environment where your teammate repeatedly called you the B word and all that, and are you comfortable in those surroundings? I mean, you could read into it, but that's a great answer. Here's the problem. A few hours later, some point this afternoon, he goes on the Instagram, and somebody with 300 followers. Now, how is Kevin Durant even finding these cats? Somebody with 300 followers tweets that the Warriors should posts on Instagram that the Warriors should trade Draymond Green. And guess who likes it? That's right, Easy Money Sniper. In other words, Kevin Durant.
It's too soon, bro.
Maybe, you know, he has long fingers. Maybe by accident he just hit the like thing.
He just happened to be scrolling through. What was his name, Rob G? Easy Said or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Who had 300 followers. He just happened to be scrolling through that guy's
Just because you
Instagram.
Don't have 100 million followers doesn't mean you're not important, Chris. Is everything size?
I don't know where you're going.
Why?
But I'm just saying.
Am
you
I right?
Don't say.
I'm just saying, Chris.
Why? You brought it up. You got two. You're the defending two-time NBA champion. You're the defending finals NBA champion two times over.
And you got Tyler Rooks.
Taylor Rooks is
Taylor
your girlfriend.
Taylor Rooks is your girlfriend.
Hell yeah.
And you worried about what said with 300 followers is Instagramming. Why? And here's the – beyond that, okay, if you're just addicted to social media, so be it. Look, you and I are older. You know, we didn't grow up in this social media age. Durant's what, 29 years old?
No, we were out playing ball.
Right.
I mean, until it got too dark.
And obviously he was too.
But you know what I'm saying.
We didn't have that.
But
he has grown up with his phone attached to his hand. Okay, so I'm not gonna judge him for that. That's no crime in being really into social media. But why is he concerned about these minor people and what they're saying about him? And here's the thing, Rob. He's already been burned. The burner account burned him. Even if you are addicted to social media, you should know better. You're Kevin Durant. You got over 25 million followers, I believe. You know that there are in social media police, Rob. You don't get in trouble, but they try to embarrass you. They out you. And you should know somebody was going to see that Easy Money Sniper liked this post where you liked a post about them trading Draymond Green.
He can't help himself. I mean, that's obvious. He can't help himself. This is who he is. He's addicted to it. I've said it before during the offseason, he should be in Europe, somebody feeding him grapes. He has a great life going, but obviously there's some self-doubt and he needs confirmation from other people. There are people like that who are very successful, yet they still want to know what other people think about them.
Well, I think a lot of highly successful
right?
people
You'd be
are
surprised.
Very insecure or sensitive. And when you're that sensitive, you do need you need consistent, if not constant, affirmation. You know? And that's why I wonder if KD can he stomach being in that locker room when a guy that was one of your better friends on the team.
And a guy you confided in, obviously, right?
Right, right. And he's a guy that is arguably the inspirational leader of that organization and that team. And he just called you out incredibly, and the whole world knows about
it. But I do believe when he says it's not going to alter his plan to leave or whatever, because we already knew, whether it be this year or next year, that he was going to leave. I don't think that that's a shocker.
Right.
I don't.
So in that
because
part,
he's
telling the truth.
Don't you think? I mean, because that was always the plan. You kind of got that feeling.
Him and Draymond could be on the best of terms, and he still probably
he still would have bounced right. Because the time had either come now or next year if he wanted to get into 1 year at the new arena that they helped build because of that franchise and the winning and all the other stuff, especially if they won again this year and it was three in a row and they had a chance.
Yeah.
Maybe for four in a row, and maybe the Lakers thing isn't, you know, coming together. You know what I'm saying? They looked at it and said, well, we could do four, and then I could bounce and go do my own thing.
We have a quote, Rob G, from Kevin Durant.
Is this
fresh? This is a new quote?
No, this is a continuation of the Chris Haynes article.
Okay.
Now, he posted a video of it. I guess they had a sit-down for Yahoo.
Yep.
This is his quote talking about the fan who was heckling him in the stands that got him that $25,000 fine. This is KD. Grown men can come to a game and heckle grown men. That's corny. That's weak. You come into a game to heckle another grown man, you're going to go to sleep as a grown man doing that to another person. So KD and his Twitter fingers and his Instagram sensitivity is calling another person corny and weak.
This is the thing I don't understand. What planet is he from? He's played ball his whole life, Chris. Seriously, like a heckler? You're bothered by, I mean, you're going up there making shots. You've been in all kinds of environments where people said you stink, missed the free throw,
right.
Look at you skinny, look at you peasy head. I'm sure he's heard everything. And even worse than what I just said.
Right.
Right, Chris?
No question.
So somebody sitting there who obviously had some money to buy those tickets to sit up that close, right? Probably a lawyer, a doctor, or somebody with some big nickels. Is riding you to try to get under your skin.
Yep, that's what he's trying
that's
to do.
That's what he's trying to do, and you allow him to do that?
And I think...
I don't get it.
Because the reports were that Kevin Durant went to the referee about it, and the referee didn't do anything about it. If it was that
if it's not,
bad...
If it's not vulgar...
Exactly. If it was that bad, the referee's going to say something.
Yes, the referee can do it.
And the refs refused to do it, so it couldn't have been that
bad. You can't throw fans out if he's not vulgar or racist, and the guy's just...
And heckling has been a part of professional sports
forever.
Ever since there were professional sports.
Absolutely.
And the thing I don't like is that KD, like, you don't go at the fan. And it under any circumstances, it wouldn't have been right to go after a fan for calling you a cupcake. And even if he said, I think he said he called him. I saw the interview you're talking about, Rob G. I think he said he called him the B word and all that. But we all know that Draymond was calling you that.
You didn't react that way.
And you didn't do anything. And I'm not saying you got to be, you know, Mike Tyson. Everybody's not going to be that tough. And I'm not jumping. But I'm just saying you jump on a fan, but your teammate was in your face saying it in the locker room when you could at least step to him, and you didn't do anything.
According to reports.
Right. According to reports, you didn't do anything. So – don't step to the fan a few days later for saying much less. That just not a good look. And, Rob, one of the differences between KD and LeBron is that I think LeBron had a little sensitivity too. But LeBron recognized it.
LeBron.
And after he lost to Dallas in 2011 and had that meltdown, he did something about it. He got off social media, not watching television, none of that during the playoffs.
Just because,
and you see the end result. He's won three championships since then
and lost six. But
no, not since then. He's lost four since then.
But my point is, Right.
KD may, I mean, I don't know if KD can do it right now because he seems like he's addicted. But he needs to just get off.
You can't let that stuff bother you. And I always say this anyway.
He would be so much happier.
All that stuff, I used to tell young players who came into Detroit, you know, like meet the columnists and you talk to them and stuff like that. And I'd always say the radio shows, the TV sports shows, and the newspaper, that's for the fans. It's not for you.
Right.
It's for the fans. So you should just understand that. And once you get over that, you'll be fine. If you're reading that stuff and listening to that stuff, it'll drive you crazy. Because there'll be the good days when you're getting stroked and feeling great. And then there'll be a lot of other days when things aren't going your way.
Yeah, I think you need to know what type of person you are. You know, if there are some people who can read all types of criticism
about
themselves.
When people write stuff about criticize you, do you read it?
I generally know. I mean, I've read criticisms of me, but like on Twitter, I really don't. I'm not always on
Twitter.
I just
don't have that much time to read
all that. It's just not a part of my lifestyle. I mean, I'm older.
I'm good where I am. I understand that everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to agree with you. Everybody's not going to think you're the best guy on the radio, on television. I get all that. I'm not bothered by that. As long as I have my facts correct, I'm good, whether you agree or disagree.
Well, and a lot of times you don't have your facts correct, but you still keep rolling.
What are you talking about?